Brother, thank thee, Lord, would you please share a few words with us, please?
Turn with me this morning back to the book of Ezekiel, 43rd chapter. We've been here quite a few times lately. I heard Joey got him a pickup truck. Made me think of Mr. Lundy up in our area. Got a ranch over there. Said his grandkids was real good help until they got a whiff of that gasoline. Then he went to running the roads. So he lost his help. So, Joey, don't let that happen to you now. To breathe a little of that gasoline and think you got to burn it.
Burn your wallet.
Yeah, nowadays especially. Yeah, should have got an electric car, Joey. That's the going thing now. 43, Ezekiel. What did I say? I might have said something else. I just want to go back to the 12th verse of this chapter and said, and this is the law of the house. On up on the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. That shall is really not there. He says it's going to be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. That's just what he's saying is that's just the way it's going to be. No ifs, ands, buts about it. He's going to make it to be holy. Actually, when it's all said and done, without spot and without blemish, is the way he's going to present it back up to the Father. Absolutely clean. No unclean thing in it or to come by it anymore. It's the end of that. Back in the 28th chapter then in the book of Isaiah, we've come here recently also, but I can't stay away. Isaiah 28, I guess verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. This is written to the elite, the First Baptist folks over there in Jerusalem. And was particular meant for them, but there is lesson here for all of us also. All these things happen unto Israel for our learning. So therefore it is also written unto us. Because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, which is pretty much fits us today. Most people today think that judgment is not going to get them. They always citing little verses and how that Lord's going to take care of them. They don't have any understanding at all of what they're talking about. The people all today, they put judgment off. It's one more day. No judgment. When actually judgment is always operational. It doesn't ever quit. It goes on and on and on. But men think that, well, we'll just put death off a little longer. Or we're such a wonderful, godly country that God surely would not do anything to us. May do something in the midst of it, but not to us personally. He wouldn't do that. He just not a God like that because he loves everybody. Just such a loving God. They're not going to touch anybody. But the truth is that he is always operating under judgment, bringing it forth continually. But men, they'll agree with you, we're fixing to die. Our time's coming. You know, it wasn't today we had this near miss, but it wasn't today, it wasn't our time. So they do understand the judgment is there, but they'd like to just dismiss it and say, well, no, that ain't going to happen to us. We're just too good. Lord can't do nothing like that. Because he have said we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scores, though, shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. What? For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Won't be to be running around trying to get a bigger fig leaf. Won't be trying to cover up. Won't make haste. We'll be content. We will no longer be angry with God. Therefore, being justified, Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we understand that the judgment of God is upon us always. Not try to turn it off as others do. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. He's going to dump it out in a big bucket, you understand. It's going to just come splash down. It's going to wash everything away, this covering, and open it up so it all is visible. It's going to come suddenly also. It's always sudden. When judgment hits man, it is always suddenly. Because we try to put it off. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, and day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Men are vexed all the time. You know, you understand that that's the reason that they try to still insist that you understand that there may not be a God. And they insist that you understand that when you die, it's all over. We're through. No tomorrow. And they work hard to convince themselves as well as you that these things that we read in here are not true. That God is a liar, that he does not mean what he says, and besides that, don't believe he even exists. And yet we look about us, and everything about us testifies that there is a God. Now, they wouldn't call him God at all most of the time. They call him a higher being. So that brings him, first place, down to our size. He's just another being. Let alone he be a higher one. In verse 20, he said, "For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on." Bed's too short. It's a vexation. Day is vexation and night is a vexation. Can't get comfortable. Got to be busy in that work and doing something to find a bigger fig leaf. And the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his strange act. Now, what's going to make the difference? God himself. People don't really understand. They think that they can do well. I hadn't killed anybody and hadn't stole anything, so that makes me justified. So they continue on in their sinful way, unless the Lord would turn them. And that's the very prayer that man ought to have. God, turn us from this way that we're in. Always. Always. The people of God. I'm not talking about people outside. I'm talking about the people of God. But they will not turn unless the Lord turn them. The Lord must be working upon the heart of man, or he will continue on thinking. Thinking, I said, the same old thing. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Unless the Lord had left us a seed, we'd all be as Sodom and Gomorrah. 23rd chapter, and in verse 27, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones," or just dead bones, "and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, this is what they say, even today they say, "If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them." Well, we're much better now. "We would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." Now, what do you think they're doing when they are preaching against the Lord and his prophets, saying, "It's not so"? we're just not going to have it. We'll just build our own little temple. And we'll call it a tabernacle. And on. And we are the First Baptist Church of this city. And we'll say the temple, the temple, the temple. We swear by the temple. It must be so. Because we said it. And we're the most holy, righteous folks there are. Book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Verse 14, he said, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. Now the covering's coming off. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquities. Judgment is coming. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto you. He was always, the Lord was always working on the Israelite people, constantly. He brings all kind of things. If you look back, so many things that he brought upon the people of Israel that didn't do them any good because he didn't turn them. He left them their own way. That's the way they wanted, their own way. Let me have my own way. This is the way I want to go. And that's the way man thinks. He'll reason it out and say that these things cannot be. But the Lord kept bringing them on them, and he brings them up on this world now. We got a big old building, half of it fell. That's just a little thing. All together, look at the whole United States, they're just murdering one another every night and every day. And saying we're a godly nation. Look at us. God couldn't do anything to us. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. They say everything goes around, comes around again. That's the kind of way it is, too. You know where they got that? Out of this very book here. Yeah, just judgment is mine. Thus saith the Lord. Going to bring the judgment. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. So what's going to make the difference? Is it going to be the First Baptist Church teaching? No, it's going to be the Lord God Almighty teaching. That's the way he teaches in his word, in the preaching of the gospel. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, who no man seeketh after. And that's what they're saying today. Look over there at that little old puny bunch. Don't know nothing. They got this strange doctrine. They talk about God as if he might bring judgment. Which he does. Airplane falls out of the sky and they say, wonder why. We'll build a better airplane. No, first we're going to have an investigation. Then we're going to get, what do they say, to the bottom of this. And the bottom of it is that the Lord has brought one more piece of judgment. You know what's the worst judgment of all, though? If the Lord would just leave a man to himself. They think they're doing good when they go out and build a bigger monument. Look at us, United States. How wonderful we are. But look at Zion. How wonderful. That's what they were saying. Look at us. That's telling the whole world that too. Just like we do. Look at us. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, because I have done these things for them. Those at be the people of God. Back in the book of Ezekiel again, 42nd chapter. Verse 15, he said, now when he hath made an end of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate whose prospect is toward the east, and measured it round about. He measured the east side with the measuring reed, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. And he measured the north side, 500 reeds with the measuring reed round about. And he measured the south side, 500 reeds with the measuring rod. He turned about to the west side, and he measured 500 reeds with the measuring rod. And he measured it by the four sides. It had a wall around about 500 reeds long and 500 broad. So it's square, perfectly square. For what? To make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. That is what the Word of God is doing and is to do. Make a separation between the clean and the unclean. What makes you unclean? Touching the dead. I said this a while back. You can't get much closer to unclean than that when you touch the dead. And what about it? We in that body. Dead bones is what's in the sepulcher that they're garnishing and putting up memorials to, and say, this was some wonderful people here, and the Lord must bless it. Must bless it. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, I guess verse 14, we could read this whole thing. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? We're going to have a wall there. Better be a wall there. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now we're going to put this thing straight. What temple are we interested in? The temple of God. That's where God dwells with his people. Where he sits between the cherubim up on the mercy seat. For ye are the temple of the what? Living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he's going to put up a wall. Going to divide it off between the clean and the unclean. Between the righteous and the unrighteous. Now our part in it is to try to stay away from it. Don't go down the road and agree with the people that are against your God. We can get along with them, but we don't have to agree with them. Be careful. It's a devilish doctrine when they tell you that all man has to do, he said enough already. What he has to do. There isn't but one thing that's going to make a difference if God does. Wherefore, in verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be clean. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't go meddling with the dead and touch it. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. We just got through reading this, didn't we? And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What's going to make the difference? It isn't going to be you and I. But we are cautioned to be careful how we meddle with those unclean things. In the book of Psalms 110, and this ought to really be familiar, Paul has went there many, many times, but I think it's a good ending for today. I'm getting my fingers working here. And said, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of thy holiness. What's it going to be? It's going to be a holy, holy place. In the beauties of thy holiness from the womb of the morning, thou shalt be the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn, and he will not repent. This is where it's going to be. That's where we started a while ago, and it's going to be the way the Lord makes it. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. the righteous judge. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. Oh, nobody's going to miss this. He's going to pour it out with such force, it's going to uncover everything. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. When you see these things approaching, lift up your head and look unto that one that is truly in control.
I always get into trouble when I volunteer. Thank you, Betty, for volunteering me. I've enjoyed, Brother JT, these messages about the house.
Yeah.
What we all need to remember is to apply what we heard to the church today.